Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Baselli. Pete Prisco on the line from CBS Sports Studios down in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale. Jags fall 31-25 to the San Diego Chargers in Week 12. A full recap coming up. Red zone issues, turnover, struggles on, red zone issues on both sides of the ball. That's the topic in this game. That's really what stands out. And we'll take calls in the second hour tonight. We'll go around the National Football League. Some really good games in the league this week. And the standings heating up as we move into December tomorrow.
Yeah, red zone was a big thing. I mean, listen, they were 4 out of 5 in the red zone, and we were 1 for 4.
There you go.
There's the game. That's the game right there. You got. I mean, it was too easy in the red zone for them. I mean, golly, there's some easy throws for Philip Rivers to make. And listen, credit to him. He made some great throws throughout the day. And then it is a monumental task for us to get the ball in the end zone right now. And we can talk about why, but that was the difference of the game right there.
Yeah, and, you know, Tony, the other thing is, okay, red zone, yes, both ways. Red zone was bad, but the thing that shows up week in and week out is they don't pressure the quarterback.
Well, they can't, Pete.
I know, and you can't win consistently in this league, or you can't win at all in this league without a pass rush. You just can't. That's the thing that every week it shows up, and it really impacts the way they play.
And there were some issues coverage wise too. I mean,
yeah,
watching the tape, I mean, there were some issues.
Yeah, there was Boss, right? On the touchdown to Gates. How does House have him?
Because he was the number one receiver on that side. There was no one outside.
Oh, so he was lined up on him on that side. Okay, yep. So he had him in man coverage then.
Yep. And then, well, I don't know if it was man. It was some sort of zone, but he was off. And
he beat him inside to the.
It looked like he just had too much outside leverage to me, and I don't know if he was worried. What he was worried about, to be honest with you. So it was way too easy though.
You know, I felt like there was a little bit of pressure on Rivers earlier in the game, right?
A little bit here and there.
They sacked him once.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the best defensive lineman on the field yesterday was Roy Miller. I mean, he was outstanding. I mean, just outstanding. Odrick had a nice rush once or twice, but there's nothing consistent. We get nothing out of the defensive end position. Nothing.
No, nothing. Zero. And you know, it was
and I'm not even
too.
Saying you're going to sack him because he gets the ball faster than anybody else in the league. But,
right.
You know, you hit him. You make him move his feet. He can't just be sitting back there comfortably. And you can't let him rush for 7 yards on 4th and 7.
That's an excuse.
That's the game.
Why did they go for that?
It was a terrible decision. It worked out for him. They could have kicked a 54-yarder. They decided not to, or punt it deep. I don't know why they did not. They had a 5-point lead, so it wasn't like the Jaguars just needed a field goal. You'd kept them out of the end zone for most of the day. I'm not sure, Pete. I thought it was a bad call. It worked out for him. But how you let Philip Rivers run the ball for 8 yards on 4th and 7 is mind-boggling.
Gus Bradley said today in his press conference there was a twist game that went wrong.
Yeah, it was bad technique. I believe it was Branch was DeLeo. He went way inside too early, and he got pinned inside, and then they pinned the whole side. But then after that, you know, the reality was is Philip could have thrown it to
Woodhead.
Woodhead. Right? Yep. For some reason, Telvin was right there on Woodhead, but then got depth. I don't know why. I'm not a coverage expert. And so either way, it would have been a much easier pickup if he throws it to Philip. If Telvin just sits there and forces, then he can come up and make the play on Philip or not let him throw to Woodhead. So, you know, listen, those are mental errors. Those are busts. And it's young players making mistakes, and that's how you lose ball games.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. And that's a game they should have won. To me, that's a game they should have won.
Absolutely, Pete. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, you got to get T.J. Yeldon more than 9 carries.
Yeah, it looked like they were going to. Didn't it look like it was going to be his game early on?
Well, I thought they had a chance to, and they got away from it for whatever reason. I'm not sure why. Now, Chargers did a couple times after the first couple good runs. They stuffed it up pretty good. But, you know, listen, I'm an offensive lineman. I'm always like, you got to come back to it. And they had some nice schemes I thought they had going, and they had some chances. And at times there's a couple guys that didn't execute well up front either. So
let me ask you this about the Chargers, because moving forward, do you think Weddle would be worth looking at next year for the Jaguars?
I don't know how well he runs anymore, Pete. He's a very smart player, very good player. I just don't know how well he runs anymore.
He's only 30, though.
Eric Weddle at safety, of course.
Yeah, but he's a good player.
I just think he's the kind of guy that if you brought him in and kind of solidified that group back there, you know, maybe you get a number one corner, bring a guy like him in, and all of a sudden you'll get your secondary, you know, draft defensive lineman, you look at that secondary and you go, you know, you got a smart, rangy center fielder.
Well, the one thing is clear, you got to get faster in defense. You got to get faster. You got to get more explosive at the two end positions. You got to get faster at linebacker. And this safety situation, you know, I mean, listen, defensively, you got not very good. I mean, run defense, we're good. We're not very good in the pass defense, and there's a lot of reasons for that. No rush, and, you know, I think, you know, there's things you could, some upgrades you can do in the secondary as well, personnel-wise.
It was funny. Was Branch getting into it with Rivers, and Rivers was probably telling Branch, who the heck are you?
Yeah, that, listen.
You haven't come to the all game barking at me. Get out of here.
That's the closest you'd be as I was running us down.
I mean, get out of here. It was, and one thing about Ray on the field, he's a maniac.
Out there. He's a great player. Gosh, he's a great player.
That kind of thing, makes him play even harder. Right?
Well, he's like that from the start. It doesn't matter. He's one of the most competitive guys in the league. So it was disappointing. It was disappointing because that's a game. You know, you feel like you should win. And, you feel like, you know, you control the first quarter. And first three drives, you should have scored 17 points minimum, maybe 21. And you just can't finish. They did not finish drives yesterday. And that, listen, that is not new. It was last week that they should have beat Tennessee by two scores. They're 1-for-4 in the tight red zone. I mean, that has to be addressed and it has to be fixed.
Is that the end of your guarantees now?
Yeah, I'm taking a break of guarantees. Not,
you can't eat tonight.
No, I didn't. No, I can't.
You can't eat tonight.
No, that's not true. I guaranteed it, and I said, I told the callers, tell me what I have to give up if it doesn't work out, and no one came up with anything. I can eat.
I just came up with something. No, eating tonight.
Too late. I'm eating.
By the way, before we get further into the show, we haven't. The big news of the week last week was one number 71 make it to the finals, 25 of the Hall of Fame voting.
That's correct. Yeah.
Congrats, Mr. Baselli.
Thank you, Pete.
You deserve it, and no
I
doubt.
I appreciate it.
There's a lot more work to be done, but you know, you've made big strides this year, and I think that's huge. And it's a, you know, it's a step in that right direction. So.
Well, you were part of the banging the drum, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've pestered a lot of people.
I know you have.
They're sick of me. But well,
so what?
Okay.
So how does it work, Pete? I really don't know how it works from this point on. I don't.
It's cut to
15. JP, don't roll your eyes. I mean, I know it's cut
to
15.
Exactly how it
works.
No,
I know it's cut to 15, and then they get. But
and
how,
then they, and then those 15 get voted on in the room.
But how do they just determine from the 25 to 15? Is
it's
it just
a
mail-in ballot again?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So. And hopefully we could get the Jaguars to get some mail outs going and stuff and things like that, because this is the time, man. If you get into the room. If you get your name into the room and people debate it and talk about it and discuss it, even if you don't make it the first time, that's important to get into the room.
Gotcha.
And so, I think this is a big time for you, a big push.
I like it. You said more about it today than you did on Sunday when I asked you about it.
Well, I mean, I was asking because Pete knows more than you do about the situation,
right,
so I was asking Pete.
No, I understand.
Listen, people have been very kind and have congratulated me, and it's nice. I don't know what else to say about it, though. I'm in the semifinals. I don't think listen, until you make it, I don't think you really get any. There's like no, like, you know,
participation
trophy,
right?
For like, hey, you're in the 25.
No, and thankfully there isn't. But, I mean, still, I mean, you're in the final 25 of a class being nominated for the Hall of Fame. I mean, that means something.
It's a nice gesture or a nice honor or whatever it's called.
It won't mean nearly as much unless you get the gold jacket. I know what that means. So, yeah. Work to do.
I just like seeing you score him, asking you about it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he does score him when you ask him.
Oh,
him.
He hates it. I do.
You know what's great about it is He plays that game like, I really don't want to talk about it, but deep down, he really wants to talk about it.
Absolutely, he
that's
does.
Not true.
You know why, Tony? That's the greatest. What's good for me is good for me right there. You get into the Hall of Fame, that's good for me, good for me. And you made it. You did it. You did it on your own. I mean, you were part of a team, but you did it. So that, yeah, of course you want to get in there. Get him in there.
That's more me than Pete. That's the way that is.
No, there's no more me, good for me, than Pete. He's the master at that.
Well, maybe my name will go in there one day. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be definitely good for
that
you.
That would be great.
Vito's name
You're
is
right,
in there
right
already.
Right there by Vito Stellino.
Yeah.
That's right. Plenty to get to tonight on Jaguars Monday. We'll look at the Jags' run game a little bit more. How do you get more touches for TJ, especially in that red zone? They went away from the run close to the goal line yesterday. Jags on defense as well. How do you adjust against Tennessee this week? The Jags are back home December 13th against the Indianapolis Colts in a key AFC South showdown. For tickets, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. More with Prisco and Vaselli coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think coaches always try to justify it. Take out the 2 minute, take out the situations where we're behind, take out this, see, he only threw it 24 times. The truth of the matter is he threw it over 40 times. And I just think that it will make him even better, and it'll make our team better if we can get closer to some balance. And some of that is when you get the lead. You know, if you're ahead by 10 points, you know, then you can see the dynamics change a little bit. Yesterday we weren't in that situation. We were down 21-9.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today in his day after press conference here at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Vaselli and Pete Prisco. Let's talk about that balance. Blake Bortles yesterday, 30 of 49.
There wasn't any balance yesterday.
Or lack of balance. 30 of 49 passing, 329 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. At first glance, not bad numbers for a quarterback. But then 19 rushing attempts for the team. Let's see.
How many of them
12
were
12 by running backs?
How many of those were Blake Bortles rushes?
Six.
Okay, so that's 55 dropbacks, passes.
That's correct.
55 dropback and 13 called runs.
Including the Lee end around.
No, it's still
that's
a run. Right. It's a run.
That's correct.
Yeah. 13 called runs, 55 drop passes. That's just I don't think that's the this team is not built at this point to put everything on the quarterback's shoulders to win football games. I'm not saying it won't be one day. And there's teams that can do that. I mean, Phillip Rivers, how many times did he throw it?
43.
Yeah, I mean, so Phillip Rivers, I mean,
ran five.
And he had, so that's 48 times. I mean, you can, I mean, Phillip, you can throw 70 for Phillip. I mean, but Blake's a young player. And I think you just have to run the ball more. Now, Is it the lack of confidence in anyone besides TJ to run the ball? So you're trying to monitor his reps throughout the year. Is that in the back of Greg Olsen's mind? I don't know. I thought Denard had is running it better the last couple weeks.
He had a 19 yarder yesterday.
He did. I don't know what it is, but I think listening to Gus's comments, I think he's probably had a conversation with the offensive staff saying, we need to run it more.
Ball,
we want to run the ball more.
Well, being down 21-9 at the half doesn't help either.
No, that's way too early to change the game plan.
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying change the game, but and I thought, really, I did. I was sitting there yesterday, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is going to be a big T.J. Yeldon game. And it had that look about it. And then for some reason, it just went away. It just went away, which was puzzling to me. And I agree with you, Tony. As much as I love the passing game, they have to get him more involved. I don't think there's any question about
it. Well, Pete, I mean, Blake's just not ready to drop back 55 times in a game.
No. And nor should anybody drop back 55 times in a game.
Well, Tom Brady can, and they win doing it, so.
Yeah, but we'll see if Tom Brady can drop back 55 times and win when he doesn't have Gronk and the rest of the gang either.
Well, Gronk's going to be back, though. It's just a mild sprain.
You would have thought he got shot by the way he went down yesterday.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's talk about something. We'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Yeah. I think they need to get Yeldon more involved. There's no question about it. Get him the ball. Get him more involved and, run the ball better.
Well, I'll say this. As an offensive lineman, it used to drive me crazy and there was games, especially when Gilbride would call plays, there were games where we just would throw it and throw it and throw it. And one of the things he would say, and most coaches say, and the reality is, you want to run the ball more, the block better. As an offensive lineman, I'm like, all right. So when we were blocking well, trust me, I'd come off the sideline if I didn't think we were running enough, and I'd be like yelling, run the ball. And so the guys up front need to do better. Now, the flip side of that is, you as an offensive lineman, the more you call it, the more of a groove you get into, and the more you can feel like you're enforcing your will, per se, and the easier it is. I mean, it's hard to run early sometimes because, you know, everyone's fresh and, you know, it's like a fighter. You start pounding the body a little bit. The legs get weaker as the game goes on. So, listen, at the end of the day, that we can analyze it, you know, 100 times, you know, different ways and talk about it. Greg Olsen just got to call more run plays and more balanced attack. And they need to, you know, I think it'll help the passing offense. I think it'll help Blake. And I think it'll help the entire offense.
How about down close to the goal line, red zone? They did not run.
Listen, I'm a tight red zone. Again, young quarterback, you run it. You score by running it. That's how you score, in my opinion. And you pound it, you run it. You can do it from spread. You can do however you want. Then you can play action pass off it and run little jerk routes with the tight end and everything else. That's how you do it, especially in a situation where Blake struggles throwing the fade route right now. Call it what it is. He does not throw the fade very well at all. And the fade is a great weapon if it's thrown correctly with big receivers in the tight red zone. And he just does not throw it well right now. He throws the back shoulder well. We saw Allen Robinson go up and make a great catch. It was a spectacular catch. But the fade, he just does not throw well. And it's, you know, it is what it is. He'll get better at it. I'm not worried about, you know, it's not that he can't do it. It's just something he needs to improve. And so I would run it more when you're in that tight red zone.
Yeah, and run it, but doesn't mean you got to bunch up and run it.
I said spread it out. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah. Why doesn't he – that's a perplexing question for me, is why he doesn't throw the fade very well.
I don't know.
Because like we said last week, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, training camp looked great, right? Throwing it up to A-Rob in the corner of the end zone.
I think he's worked on so many other things. That's like the next step, one of the next steps.
He'll get it. I mean, listen, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying right now where you're at. I mean, listen, part of – you know, you got to put your – you know, put your players in a situation to have the best chance of succeeding. And I think that's what – you know, you watch what Greg Olsen calls down there. I think that's what he's trying to do. But they were dropping eight into coverage, and it gives – it's tight windows, and it's hard to throw. And so the other thing is, if you're going to play in the tight red zone and they're dropping eight, you better be definitive in your answers, and you better be very accurate and throw it in through some tight windows. Because you have to, because the windows are not very big, and they're not open very long at all, even when they're cracked, when they drop eight. So I would have liked to see more run calls down there. Would it have worked? Would it have been any different? I don't know. Because, listen, Greg's called it earlier in the year, called the run, and the offensive line and the backs didn't perform at the level to get it in.
Hey, called the run three times against Tennessee with Denard Robinson. It didn't work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not putting this on Greg Olsen. I get, listen, at the very minute level of coaching I've done at the high school level, I understand the frustration. I understand the frustration of the coaches. You're sitting there trying to call plays and try to figure out what works. And when you call something a couple times and it doesn't work, whether it's not being blocked right or whatever, they give you a look, it's hard to go back to it. And it carries over. And I think, listen, last week they tried to run it in. They did not work. And so this is not me putting it all on Greg Olsen. The 11 guys on the field have to execute better, too, with what is called. And so you give the guy calling plays confidence to look at his play sheet and have choices. And I just wonder – it was Greg Olsen looks at that play sheet right now in the tight red zone and is like, what one am I going to point to talking to, you know, tell Blake to call. But, you know, they got to figure it out. Listen, you look at the good teams and the teams that have winning records and the teams that have success, they are good in the red zone.
Yeah, you score touchdowns, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Yeah. No, kicking field goals in the red zone is not good in the red zone.
The kid showed good leg, by the way, and then he yanked his extra point. I don't get
it. That's right.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't even watch it because all I was thinking about is the onside. I'm like, all right, we scored. Now I got to get an onside. I wasn't even looking at the because it didn't matter.
Right. It still didn't
was. Hey, play. I want to ask you this: I didn't have the sound on. Was Gus complaining saying that was an illegal batting?
I think that's what they were arguing.
Yes.
Yeah. And what did they rule?
It was not illegal, and the officials got it right. If you bat it backwards or horizontally, it's not a penalty. If he would have tried to bat it forward, it would have been
right.
a penalty.
Right.
So it was the right call. But I was screaming, too. That is illegal. That's illegal. But it's not. Because you look at the replay, it was horizontal.
Yeah, it was directly horizontal.
Plenty left to get to on Jaguars Monday. We'll come back and break down the Jags' defensive effort yesterday against Philip Rivers. Your calls coming up in the second hour. We'll look around the National Football League as well. Park, ride, and relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle makes game days more enjoyable with hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking info, visit jtafla.com. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
The big thing is not to go out there and press and try to make things happen. That's not the issue. The issue is that it's tighter windows. It makes you make quicker decisions. And, there's times when we just got to make quicker decisions. Even though they didn't get us in the sack, there wasn't pressure. They did flush Blake a couple times, which sometimes can take you out of timing and reading your progression and routes. That did happen a couple times. So I think, those things let's correct rather than press to try to find a way to score.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today discussing the Jags' offensive red zone issues throughout the season, really. They were highlighted again yesterday in the loss to the San Diego Chargers. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. Not only were there red zone issues on the offensive side, we've mentioned the red zone issues on the defensive side, too. Five trips for the Chargers, four touchdowns. We touched on
too easy too.
Touched on at the start of the show, just a lack of pressure on Rivers, but his ability to check at the line and put a guy in motion without the huddle to see what defense you're in, bring in a guy for protection, change a route concept on the outside, all with 10, 15 seconds to spare. He's only a few guys in the league can do that kind of thing.
That's why he's one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, just imagine if he was on a team that had any dang talent.
And you know what, Tony? One of the best and a guy who's never really received the due he deserves or people appreciate him for how
because he hasn't won a Super Bowl, Pete.
Yeah, I know. But remember, he played in the championship game on a bum knee in New England.
Tore ACL.
Almost pulled that one out. I mean, the guy's a great – he's exhibit – him – I always go back to Dan Marino, but Philip Rivers is another one on how that – Super Bowl stigma can sometimes be wrong about a quarterback. I mean, he is that good and hadn't won a Super Bowl, and it shouldn't be held against him.
Well, yeah. Well, it's interesting, and this is a whole other topic we can talk about another time or later. It's interesting that in the ultimate team game, we judge players on whether they won a Super Bowl or not.
Right.
And it's so many things have to go right for it to happen. And it's not just about one guy. I mean, perfect example, look at the New England Patriots. So you heard after after Brady won this last Super Bowl, the Patriots did, that this cements him as possibly the greatest quarterback ever. Does everyone realize he won the Super Bowl because of an awful call by Darrell Bevell and Pete Carroll not to give it the ball on second and goal or first and goal, whatever it was, from the 1 yard line to Marshawn Lynch after they've been gashing them down the field? And so a bad call by that Tom Brady had nothing to do with. And by the way, if you go to the first Super Bowl he won, he threw for like 165 yards.
Right.
It was a great defense. I mean, the two he lost were because of miraculous catches by receivers that he wasn't covering.
Tony, it goes back to the quarterback's, wins is not a stat. It's just not. And people love to make it a stat. Yeah, the quarterback is the most important position, obviously. But if Philip Rivers was on a good team, I mean, my God, how good would – you know what I mean? If he was on a good team, they'd be fantastic. That He's got nothing on that team right now. Nothing.
So did you, another one, Pete. Did John Elway all of a sudden? John Elway wasn't even playing his best football of his career when he won the two Super Bowls. No, they got Terrell Davis, who possibly is going to be a Hall of Famer himself. A very good defense. Good offensive line. Coached by one of the better offensive line coaches in the game, in the history of the game, Alex Gibbs. And they had a good team. And John Elway, great quarterback. But that, he wasn't playing at the highest level of his career.
Yeah, what if he hadn't won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden he's not one of the greats all time?
Well, Marino's one of the greats of all time, and if people hold it against him, then he never won a Super Bowl.
So I just think we get so – and this all goes back to Philip Rivers is a great quarterback.
Great.
I mean, great. I mean
I get it. Yeah,
he's better – okay, Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls. Who would you take?
Me, I take Philip Rivers.
Who – okay, is there anyone besides Eli's parents that wouldn't take Philip Rivers first?
Peyton.
Okay, Peyton. Sorry. Anyone without the last name Manning not take Philip Rivers first?
You'd probably get some debate on that. But
no, Pete.
Would you take Philip Rivers over Russell Wilson?
Yes.
He won a Super Bowl.
I don't care.
I
take him over Joe Flacco as well.
Me too. You wouldn't take him over Ben Roethlisberger.
It's pretty close.
It is close, but you wouldn't take him over Ben.
No, I'd take both. Can I have both?
You can have both.
Who's starting for you?
Both. I'd rotate plays. They're both great.
You wouldn't take him over Rodgers, Rodgers is playing.
Right now, Philip Rivers is playing better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers right now. And I'll tell you one thing. They're a heck of a lot more creative on offense than the Green Bay Packers are. When is that? And we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about the league, but when are we going to start talking about the lack of imagination for the Green Bay Packers offense?
I did a breakdown of them 2 weeks ago on film, and I said the exact same thing. There's nothing but ISO routes. Nothing. They don't pick. They don't cross. They don't bunch. They don't do anything. There's no creativity whatsoever. None. Zero. And they don't have anybody who can win. You did that game, right?
Yep.
And you sat there, and you saw James Jones can't win. They double Cobb, and the other guys can't win either.
Cobb's not great at winning right now either.
No. Nobody's winning. That might be one of the best moves that didn't happen for the Jaguars, by the way.
Cobb, really?
Yep. They wanted Cobb. They came close to getting Cobb. Mm-hmm. Think about what they have now. Do they need Cobb?
No.
Best move. Sometimes, you know, it reminds me of some of the best moves that weren't made early in with you guys, Tony. Alonzo Spellman, Quinton Coriat, and Todd Light. All signed the offer sheets. Each of their teams matched them. They never came. Ended up being good moves for your team. Sometimes the best moves you make are the ones you don't make.
Circling back around to this Jags defense, Gus Bradley said today that Branch and Clemens, when he was asked how they played, he said solid, which is Gus speak for not so good.
That's Gus speak for crappy.
Right, exactly. He also said that Ryan Davis got some snaps
a lot more reps
yesterday.
A lot more reps watching the tape. He was out there quite a bit more at Leo. Didn't really affect the quarterback, but he was out there more. And I don't think anyone – at the Leo position played all that well.
How do you fix
well,
it?
Clemens is done with a capital D. Finished. Goodbye. He's done. I'm not sure why they brought him back, but he's done.
I'll say this. I don't know if we're getting a little offseason ahead of ourselves here. I'm not sure anyone who plays the Leo position will be on the team next year, outside the kid who's on IR.
Branch won't be there. Clemens won't be there. Who else am I missing?
Brian Davis?
Maybe.
Chris Smith?
No.
Ryan Davis would be the only one, only because he is a core special teams guy and can rush the three technique and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I don't even consider him a true Leo right now.
They need to spend the entire offseason drafting defensive linemen and signing defensive linemen, as many as you can get. It's all about pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. If I were them, I'd make two moves in free agency if I could, and then draft defensive linemen. And those two moves, I'd try and sign Norman, and I'd try and sign Weddle. And then if I go up front, I'd try and get draft big, tough pass rushers and linebackers. I mean, They need speed. I mean, you know, Tony, who might be the best, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the linebacker from US from Notre Dame might be the best player in the country.
Yes.
But can you draft a linebacker that's not an edge rusher high?
If he's,
you know what I mean?
If he's Ray Lewis, yeah. If he's Luke Kuechly, yeah.
No, he might be that.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's that good to play all those positions, sure.
Right. Well, that means you're. That
would
means
you
you're
okay? If we went back, and I don't even know what draft Luke Kuechly is in, and I don't know when he was picked, but would he not be a top 10 pick now if you were redrafting?
He was a top 10 pick.
Was he? Okay. Well, this team's going to be drafting between 8 and 12.
Yeah, and that he was number, I think he was number 9.
So, I mean, yeah, I think Jalen Strong is the kid we're talking about from Notre Dame. I think.
Jalen Smith.
Or Jalen Smith, sorry. He is that's where he's going to draft him. I think you can draft him there.
Okay, but okay, let's just say for the sake of the argument that Jaguars did draft him, that means goodbye pause.
Right away?
Yeah.
But you put him over at the other side, like Otto or something, for a little bit.
I don't know. I think that they need to come out of the draft with the other edge guy or the other rush guy or the other down rush guy. They can't. Because next year, if they think that Fowler's going to go in there and be the – and he's going to be a good player. I'm a big believer in that. But you got to have something on the other side to help him.
Well, not that. Let's not forget the kids never played a snap in the NFL and is coming off ACL.
Right. And you know, Marks will be coming off a second injury when he gets back in the inside. So they need help all the way across the front there. I would just draft as many big guys as you can get, fast guys on those front seven. That's what I would do. And I'd try and sign a corner. I mean, if they got Norman, you could play Norman, you know, if you tried to, or one of those kind of guys.
You don't think Carolina will try to keep Norman?
Of course they will.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know their cap space, but my guess is they're going to back up the Brinks truck to keep him. Although they need to go find some wide receivers, too.
The funny thing is, before this season, you wouldn't have said, boy, back up the Brinks truck to keep Josh Norman.
The way he's playing, though, this year, Pete?
I know.
That's dangerous, though.
Takes 1 year, right?
It's dangerous.
Is it a contract year?
It's dangerous to pay a guy that much.
In a contract year, right?
Just because of a contract. One great year. That always worries me is, like, what motivates this guy? Does he really want to be great, or does he just want to be rich?
Well, I'd rather be rich than great, but.
Not me, Pete. I'd rather be rich. I'd rather be great. I would rather be great.
Well, 9 times out of 10, if you're great, you're going to be rich.
I'm just telling you. I'd rather be great.
I'd rather be rich.
You
can say I'm average, just make me rich.
I want to be the best. I would rather be the best at what I do.
You'd rather be the best at what you do and get a middling contract and be the 50th best, 20th best, and get one of the biggest contracts in history.
I'm just telling you, I'd rather be the best.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't your agent.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
I'll just be poor and average. We'll come back and look at the injury report and an update on Allen Hurns.
And don't forget, you know, it comes up every week, the PFF.
I'm passing this week.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
We'll break down the Pro Football Focus grades from Chargers, Jaguars, the injury report, and more coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
And we moved the ball on him. You know, we had, 420 yards of offense, and Blake over 300 yards passing. So, you know, we tried to mix it in. But, yeah, I think, you know, I have no argument or no discussion about looking at possibly running the ball more.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today in his day after press conference after the Jags fell to the San Diego Chargers 31-25 final at Everbank Field in Week 12. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. Glad you're with us. Your call's coming up in the second hour. And Pro Football Focus grades as well. We're sitting here in the studio, by the way. Tony's eating. I know it's a shock, Pete. John Oser just came in, Jaguars.com senior writer, and dropped off an envelope of old Tony Boselli photos from, like, high school.
When I was 2 years old.
That was from a feature he did on you when you first were drafted.
And guess what? How about this, Pete? So he gets these pictures from my stepmom. Either my mom or stepmom, whoever had them, because they're pictures from all different ages. And He says, listen, let me get these pictures, and I'll send them right back after I use them for the story. Never sent them back, Pete, and he just found them. That's over 20 years ago. My poor parents have been looking for these photos, crying over these lost memories of me as a child.
I'm sure they're just broken up by not having.
But I'll tell you what, there's a couple pictures of me in high school playing football. I was a bad man in high school.
Were you chubby or no?
No. I played high school football at 6'6", 255.
See, that's the kind of kid.
I was an athlete.
That's the kind of kid back in the day, you would look at him, 6'6", 255, and you'd recruit you, and then 2 years in, you'd be 6'6", 320 at USC.
It took me longer than that to get that heavy, but
did it?
I grew in college. I showed up my freshman year. I was 6'6" and a half by then, almost 6'7", because I grew until my redshirt freshman year. I was 6'6" and a half, 6'7", 273. Then I went to 305. Then I went to 315. Then I lost weight for some odd reason. Went to 305 because I got in my mind I needed to be quicker. It was a miserable decision. Once I actually started gaining weight back during the season, I was too light. And then I got to 323 my senior year.
And what were you after Thanksgiving last week?
Oh, Pete, right now, it's honestly, Pete, I don't want to get on a scale. It's a mess. Like, I've even gone too far of my theory, just enjoy life, because now I'm so fat and that I'm not even enjoying eating. I'm just like, it's like a
if
chore.
You had to get,
but here's the thing. I was laying in bed last night because I'm tired. I was going to go to bed. And I call down because I'm too fat and lazy to get out of bed and walk downstairs. I call my 18-year-old son. I say, hey, bring me some cookies up. So he brought me four cookies and a glass of milk. And I'm sitting there in bed eating cookies and milk. And I'm like, I am a miserable, undisciplined, fat human being.
In bed, even. You're eating in bed.
Pete, it's embarrassing right now.
So what do you think the scale says right now?
We're going to go on the commercial break. We'll tell you. We'll go in the locker room.
He doesn't want to know. So I know that feeling because I don't want to know either. But what do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm not saying. I don't want to know. I don't want to think about it, Pete.
You think it could be 340?
No.
330?
No, it's in the mid 320s though, which is like so heavy for me right now.
That's your playing weight.
Yeah, but I had muscle back then. I was looking at this picture of me like as a senior in college. I was like, man, I'm yoked up. I'm like big and strong. And now
a picture on the wall behind me of him playing, that is not the same Tony Baselli sitting in front
like
of
my
right
like I'm looking at this picture like I don't have a gut. I don't have like now I got a fat gut and love handles.
But
it's disgusting.
But the picture where like when they have the whole group of guys when they first came in, you look like a chubby guy in that picture.
No, I had a young face.
Is that what it was?
Now my face has gotten skinny and the rest of me has gotten fat. Great, that's a great transition.
Hey, fat ball season's almost over. Don't worry about it.
Oh, good. We don't have to do PFF tonight. We got to go. No, we got to go.
Next segment.
We got to take calls next segment.
We got to do the
injury
report.
No, next segment. We'll do it next segment.
Let's get quickly through the injury report. An update on Allen Hurns. Sustained a concussion. His head hit the ground during the fourth quarter. Taken to the hospital for precautionary measures and released a couple hours after the game. All tests in regard to his head and neck were negative. So he's released last night. He's in the concussion protocol moving forward. He was in the locker room today chatting with teammates.
I bet
they're
he plays.
All around him, but the media not allowed to talk to him during the protocol. Brian Walters, wide receiver, had soreness in his lower back. He'll go through treatment today and more updates on Wednesday. Josh Evans is in the concussion protocol, the safety. Dwayne Grott sprained an ankle during the game.
Can you say something real quick?
Yes, sir.
Two of the toughest guys on this team right now have concussions. Josh Evans is one of the toughest human beings. And so is Allen Hurns. Both tough guys. And if they can come back, trust me, they'll be back. But they're serious. I mean, especially Allen Hurns, were serious concussions, so we'll have to let it play out. But those are two tough guys. And for them to get concussions, man, you know they were knocked silly.
That was scary.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, because it looked like initially like it might be his neck. That was scary.
Yeah.
Dwayne Grott sprained an ankle, did return and finished, and Ryan Davis had some knee soreness, but finished the game as well.
Did Dwayne Grott sprain his ankle pivoting while he was getting turned around?
Enough, Pete. That's not nice.
We're back in a moment. Pro Football Focus grades.
I'm going to be leaving for the next segment.
To get seconds on your dinner?
Go look for dessert.
There
cookies
you go.
And milk.
Yeah, you'll find that. We're back in a moment. Pro Football Focus grades your calls as well. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. More Prisco and Baselli after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You hope he learns from all these. You know, we threw it, what, 40-some times in the game. He threw one interception. I don't know what's reasonable. I know that one hurt. I know it took the wind out of us a little bit. I do know that. But when you throw it 40-some times, with a second-year quarterback, is there any time when there's an interception? You know, I don't know what's realistic. And I think some of those mistakes that he makes. But we always say, hey, there's going to be penalties and there's foolish penalties. And I think both those were foolish penalties. And he'll be the first one to admit it. And he's got to recognize where he is on the field and the situation.
Head coach Gus Bradley discussing the illegal forward passes.
Before we go to the numbers, or the PFF grades, whatever those things are called, what are Blake's numbers for the year now? Does anyone have them?
I've got them right here. Stand by. Blake Bortles, 248 for 435. That's 57%.
Not good enough.
No.
2,952 yards passing.
He's going to blow away my 3,600 yards.
Way past it.
22 touchdowns. That's one away from tying the franchise record for a single season.
He'll break it this week.
13 interceptions.
How many? 22? I said 34. Can he get 12 more over six games? Yeah.
Sacked 34 times and a rating of 82.3.
34 sacks is too many, but it's like drastically lower than last year.
I'm gonna read something to you. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
353 of 557 for 4,367 yards, 19 touchdown passes and 20 interceptions, and the quarterback was sacked 50 times.
I'm gonna say it's Mark Brunell.
In 1996.
I thought he had 20.
Wow.
I think you're wrong, Pete. He had 20 touchdowns that year.
It's 19. He had 20 in 98.
I thought he had 20 there.
No. So, but think about it.
Yeah, 50 sacks. We threw the ball a lot that year. How many?
You threw 557 passes.
Those were the games I was screaming at Gilbride, run the ball. I mean, we would drop back. Now, we were behind a lot. But we drop. I mean, I felt like there were certain games we never ran the ball.
What is
how many attempts did he have again?
557. How many does Blake have right now?
Oh, Blake has 435.
All right, so
435. We played 11 games, right?
11 right. Football games.
He's on pace to break that.
Yeah, he's throwing the ball four more times a game than we did back then.
Yeah, he's on pace to break that. There are so many parallels between those.
We only have 5 games left.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's December tomorrow.
You know what it is, Tony? 4-7, 5-game winning streak.
It is so funny. I thought the same thing. I looked at the schedule this morning. I saw it. I'm like, yeah, we're 4-7. I've been there before. You know what it's similar to? We won. We got to 3-6.
Right, lost.
And then we lost a game that was ugly.
Who was that to?
Pittsburgh.
That's right.
He got fired. I mean, not fired. Got what's his face cut?
No, that wasn't that week, was it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
What's his face?
Andre Rison. That was earlier.
No, it was not, Pete.
I got to look and see. But, you started thinking the same thing then.
I did. It was so funny. I was like, huh.
Well, I mean, you pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot, so.
You did, actually.
Yeah, it's not.
Tony, they were the seventh game they won, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So what, it was the 10th, it was the Pittsburgh game, you're correct.
Thank you.
And then they beat Baltimore, right?
Yep.
On the freak play at the end, right? The fumble.
Beat Cincinnati, beat Houston, Seattle, and Atlanta. So this team would have to beat Tennessee, beat the Colts, beat
Atlanta, the Saints,
and
the Texans.
It's all doable. It's not going to happen, but it's doable.
They'll beat the
Saints. Even if they won out, though, they still might not make the postseason, right?
They went out, go 9? No, they might not. I mean, listen. The Texans right now, they're playing possessed on defense. As bad as they were early in the year, they
young
are
guys
playing,
are growing up, Tony.
Really playing well, Pete.
All those young guys are growing up. I watched them on tape last week. McKinney, Kevin Johnson, Merciless, Clowney, and they're all getting better.
Yeah, they're playing good defense right now.
All right, before we go to phone calls, let's just run through this real quick.
Let's get through the pro football.
It's gonna be really quick, though.
Grading.
All right, let's
tonight.
Go to offense. Just ask me how many guys, if there were any guys. I'll ask you, do you think there are any guys that were in green, which means positive grade?
Yeah, Julius Thomas had to be. I mean, he played outstanding football.
No, just barely above middling.
Okay, that's stupid.
Okay, but there were guys in green. There were.
Wait, how? So they didn't have him positive in the pass game? He had 9 for 116, a touchdown, and some huge catches.
Yes, but minus in the run blocking department.
I don't even. He's average run blocker. That's what he is.
There are 4 offensive linemen in the positive in that game. Who are they?
Everyone but Jokel.
Yeah, you're right. Even Beatles. Beatles is the highest ranked player on the offense.
Really. I disagree with that. I thought A.J. Cann was the best offensive lineman on the field.
A.J. Cann was the best. Beatles beat him in both pass protection and run blocking.
Yeah, I disagree with that 100%. I thought Beatles. I don't think Beatles ran block. I'm not going to judge any of them on the run block. They didn't have very many attempts. But Cann was better in the run blocking. But I'll say Beatles pass blocked well. Jokel did not have a good game.
All right, Blake Bortles got a minus, big minus. I don't understand that one.
I'd give a minus just because of the pick.
Yeah, but not a big minus.
No.
All right, let's go to the defense.
I'll give
Roy Miller, you said, was a positive.
Oh, yeah, he was dominant. I thought Audric was a positive.
They did not. How about Telvin Smith?
Negative.
Gave a positive. High positive.
Missed at least 3 tackles I can think of.
Nobody else was in the positive. Nobody. Who's the biggest negative of the day on defense?
I don't know.
Branch. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Who's the biggest negative in the secondary? Who would you make the biggest negative in the secondary?
Grotz.
Nope. Cyprian.
Okay.
He regressed again yesterday.
Yeah, he's coming off a good game too, man. He's been
playing
well.
Up and down. He's got to be more consistent.
I don't think he was the worst though. But I disagree with that.
Who do you think was the worst? Grotz?
I don't think Sergio played all that well.
Sergio was they have Sergio playing better than the other guys. Demetrius McCray had 39 snaps yesterday.
Yeah. Just okay.
That's what they have. Just okay. So, Andre Branch, biggest minus, and his pass rush is huge minus. Does he even sniff the quarterback?
The answer would be negative. Negative Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
Answer me this, Tony. Why does a guy with that much athletic ability and speed, why can't he get to the quarterback? Is it his hands? Is he not strong enough? What is it?
I don't see the speed, Pete.
When he loops around.
I'm just telling you, I don't see the speed.
No.
So, he's not powerful. Listen, as an offensive tackle, if you don't have speed, then you can't, unless you're Reggie White or just a huge power guy. There's no defensive ends in the league that if you don't have speed, you're not powering me. I mean, you're not, because you have no threat. You're not going to get me to turn my hips. You're not going to get me to bail. It's going to be very hard for you to power me. Now,
it's not good.
And so, like J.J., I was thinking about, because I did an interview about J.J. Watt.
I gave that guy your number, by the way.
That's fine. J.J. Watt, his speed would not scare me at all, but where his bull is effective, number one, he's a big, strong guy. But because his finesse game is so good with the swim move and the stutter and rip and all that I would probably play a little bit higher to take that away, and that's where the ball would be hard to stop.
Tony, would you go after Jason Pierre-Paul or Muhammad Wilkerson next year?
I don't think I'd go after Muhammad Wilkerson because I don't think he fits the system. He'd be a big four. Jared Odrick plays, and you need a pass rusher. And I don't think Muhammad Wilkerson's a great pass rusher. JPP does not – I haven't seen him play this year, Pete. How's he playing?
I got to watch the tape from yesterday. He started getting better the week before. I haven't seen the tape.
I'd probably say no. I probably wouldn't for the price tag it's going to take to get.
It's going to cost some money now.
I probably would not.
Well, and so there you go. There's your top free agent pass rushers next year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the rest of those guys, you know, guys like Justin Tuck and Jason Jones, and, you know, they're
Justin
veteran.
Tuck still playing?
Yeah, he's hurt in Oakland. Wallace Gilberry. I mean, those guys are 30 years old. Olivia Vernon has played himself out of a big contract. He could have had a chance to make some money.
Yeah.
Malik Jackson's intriguing in Denver. Good. Mike Daniels in Green Bay.
Mike Daniels is a really good football player. I've watched him 2 weeks in a row now.
But where's he play in their defense, Tony?
He'd be a three technique. He is a powerful dude, and he's a good pass rusher. I think Mike Daniels, the two games I've watched, so I've watched three games because I watched tape too. He is a good football player. I like
he's
him.
He's a really good football player. Malik Jackson's a really good football player for the Broncos.
I like
They're young too.
I like Mike Daniels a lot.
He's 26, so that's. I mean,
I doubt Green Bay will let him get out of the building.
I wouldn't.
No, he's their best defensive lineman. He's better than B.J. Raji. They're different, but he's better than B.J. Raji. I'd take Mike Daniels over B.J. Raji
any day of the week. Of course,
I take Roy Miller over B.J. Raji.
That's it. That's what you got. So better go draft them.
Draft away.
Yeah, I just don't – I mean, would you pay JPP, Pete?
I got to go back and watch some more. I mean, I want to see him the rest of the way. I mean, if he – let's face it. If he goes out and does stuff the rest of the way, the Giants aren't going to let him leave.
No. They already franchised him once.
What about
Bruce
Irvin?
I would go get Bruce Irvin. Yes, I would get him.
And he supposedly wants to come back to the East Coast too.
He wants to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, but if you overpay, if you pay, you know, if you outbid him, then you get him. And he knows Gus.
Now, I don't know about his off the field issues or what, if he has any. I know he did coming out of West Virginia. I don't know what kind of guy he's been in the pros. But he is, you need, because like JPP is not a fast player. You know what I'm saying, Pete?
Right.
He's a power right end who has good, you know, I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek, good hand use, even though he only has one full hand now. But he does. I mean, that's what he's done. He's long. He's big. He's a very athletic player. But you need speed on this defense, and Bruce Irvin is a fast player.
Go empty the checkbook for Von Miller.
Von's going to be free?
Yeah, they're not going to let him get out of there, though.
I mean, how can they afford him?
I don't know, but they'll find a way.
Now, Von Miller, I'd go – pay him what he wants.
Now, if you had Von Miller and Dante Fowler
on third down, you got two pass rushers.
But how do you play that?
You put
threw them both on the field.
No, you put.
Yeah, but how do you play them though?
Von Miller is, you know, your auto. You're a strong side linebacker, first and second down. And on third down, you rush the passer.
And you play Fowler as the Leo.
As the Leo.
Yeah, that'd be unbelievable if they could have two guys like that.
Because Pete, most of the time in this league now, you're in sub anyways.
Right.
So 60% of the time, he's going to be your left defensive end rushing the passer.
Or if you went and got you know, Irvin, you could do the same thing with him.
Put all three of them on the field. Yeah. But Von Miller's not. I mean, guys don't go free.
No, hell no. And if they do, that's a huge, huge mistake.
Let's go to the phone lines. Open them up tonight. 355-NFL1.
Shocking. We got a waiting list because we lost.
355.
I mean, I love it. I mean, these people don't call when we win. They want. Right, here we go. Let's go.
5-1.
Dial it up.
We'll start off with Chris on the west side. Good evening, Chris.
Guys, man, I wish I could have called in last week. This Marshall guy calling into the worst show on 1010XL. First of all, it's hilarious that anybody would call in a show they hate and say that.
Yeah, but
Marshall,
thank
you for your opinion.
He loves me, though.
Do
that's
us all
okay.
a favor, turn the dial.
He didn't like me.
His problem
was with me. It wasn't with Tony. It was just with me.
I know. He calls David Lamb somebody who calls it like it is and Pete Prisco who doesn't. Are you serious? Do I have to remind everybody about his Lamb rant where he accused the Jaguars organization of duping the fans, selling them a bill of goods? I mean, this guy has the same cynical take every time.
Chris,
it's like a broken clock
that way. What about
it's
this game?
Like,
let's talk about this game. I don't care about Marshall, the last caller. I mean, last week's caller.
All right. Well, then
I don't think anyone else is in this city.
Let's talk about you, Baselli. Let's talk about your guarantees.
Okay.
Please remind us all what your guarantee was last week.
I forgot already, Chris.
I
guaranteed they'd win the next 2 weeks. I was wrong.
Well, here's the other part of your guarantee. You asked the callers to pick what you were putting up for your guarantee.
And they didn't
that
do it.
Leak toss.
And they didn't
it
do it.
Leaked. I would have called in had I been able to.
Well, you didn't. So what do you want to talk about this week?
He wants you to make another guarantee.
I'm not making any guarantees. I'm not. Chris, what do you want from me? I'm not making a guarantee. Ask a question or a comment about this game, and let's move on.
See, I think you already made a guarantee. You said it reminds you of the 1996 season.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't make any guarantees. Go. I'm not guaranteeing we're winning five straight.
Why not? That'd be fun. Come on.
Yeah.
Because the last time he guaranteed they'd win two straight, it didn't happen. They lost right out of the gate. You can't guarantee anything anymore.
Let's get one more in before the break. Daniel.
Do we have to?
Yes. Daniel on the north side. Good evening, Daniel.
Hey, good evening. I have a guarantee. I bet Tony will say the word listen about 30 more times before this show is over.
You want to bet?
No.
Listen, son, listen.
What are you putting up on that? Let's put something up. Put your money where your mouth is. Listen to me. There's one. Right. Only got 29 to go.
All right, real quick. You know, I get it's a players' league. We all agree with that. But as a baseline, I mean, Gus at least has to put the right players on the field. You guys have admitted for a month that Zane Beadle shouldn't be playing. Andre Branch led the team in snaps yesterday. Chris Clemens, you know, his body is somehow still on this roster. You still have Dwayne Gross going out there. I mean, I'm not even arguing about play calling. Just freaking put the old guys off the field. Let Ryan Davis play. Let Statley play.
Ryan Davis did play yesterday.
Like what, 15 snaps?
No, a lot more.
No, 20 max.
Okay, great. That's more.
Oh, great, 20.
What do you want?
I mean, what I want is put the best players on the field.
Okay.
I mean, there's no excuse for that.
So, let me ask you a question. I just want to make sure I understand your reasoning here. So you think Gus and his staff are having the best players sit on the bench and playing guys who aren't as good so they can't win? I'm just asking the question.
I think he thinks they're better.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, he's wrong. And you have two on this show.
About one position. I said I would play Shatley.
Would you play Davis over Clemens and Branch?
I would play Ryan Davis. What I saw yesterday, no more than the other two.
Well, he played 32 snaps yesterday. If you
32 snaps, Chris. So get your numbers right.
Well, Andre Branch played 57.
Okay, Pete. There's not a pass rush. There's no pass rushers on this roster. Ryan, okay, listen, he had 32 snaps. He didn't get near the quarterback.
No, he didn't do a very good job.
No, none. Zero. I've said I would play Shatley. But guess what? Guess how many practices I've watched since training camp? It'd be zero. None. Maybe Shatley can't block me during practice.
Has anybody watched the kid from Western Kentucky that they picked up practice at all?
No. None of us see practice, Pete.
He's a practice squad player. Remember?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That kid had talent when he came out.
Great. But, I mean, none of us know. I make an opinion based on what I saw in preseason about Shatley, and because I didn't think Zane Beatles played fine yesterday. Zane Beatles wasn't a problem yesterday. He passed block very well. So, I mean, I don't know what Chris or anyone else wants. But you have only 28 less than 28 to go because I just said listen again. That's now 27.
Yeah, I'm keeping a track actually over here.
All right, so the reality is though, we've been talking about the lack of pass rushers on this team since training camp. Trust me, there are no pass rushers on the street because if there were, 31 other teams, including us, would be snatching them up.
And that will be the focal point of the offseason, no doubt about it. They will spend money, spend draft picks, and spend everything else to improve that pass rush.
I love these people. I love them. Love you guys. Wish you'd call in when we win, though.
Just tell them to listen.
Listen.
There's four. That's number four. We're back with more of your calls a little later. We'll look around the National Football League as well. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, you go into games, I think, with a guy like Phillip Rivers, and you're trying to condense the pocket, try to squeeze it from outside in. Even the style of rushes from the outside change a little bit because of his style. Going into the game, you're not real concerned with him losing contain and running. You know, but that one had hurt us. That one had hurt us.
Gus Bradley discussing the fourth down scramble for Phillip Rivers yesterday. Chargers win it 31-25. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco. And the phone lines are open. And we go now to Chad in McClinney. Good evening, Chad.
First off, Pete Prisco, how you been, man? For way too long.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding, man. I'm hey, why'd you have, State
hey,
Warriors.
Hey, what? Whoa, wait a second. First of all, we're not talking basketball on this show.
Pete, Tony, I grew up in Southern California. I watched the USC.
That's great.
I got nothing but mad respect for you, my friend. I love you to death, man.
Chad, and I love you, too. But I'm not talking about Steph Curry and the Golden State.
Well, hey, I got a couple questions about Greg Olsen's play calling yesterday.
Perfect. Shoot.
Okay, good. Why on earth do they run on 2nd and 10 every time? Why can't they open up the playbook and pass the ball? I don't get that.
Well, they did not run on 2nd and 10 every time because they only ran 13 times the entire game.
And that's the other thing. Why, when they get in the red zone, why do they abandon the run and not let T.J. Yeldon get the ball? I don't get that.
Well, we talked about that earlier. I mean, I think
I'm sure there were a few that were called that were checked out of also.
There very well could have been stuff Blake checked out of. But I mean, we talked about it. I think they need to give the ball to T.J. Yeldon more, whether it's in the red zone and in the field. He needs more than 9 carries a game.
No doubt about it. He's got to get the ball more. Even for a guy who loves the passing game, T.J. Yeldon needs to get the ball more, period.
Kyle on in East Arlington. Kyle, what's up?
Thank you, guys. Mine's a little bit more of a technical question. I'm certainly a Jaguars fan and have no problem. I'm sorry we lost, but I want to also say thanks to the defense. I thought that blocked punt was unbelievable, number one.
Yeah, that was a great play.
Really, we haven't talked about special teams, and that was really defense. But on the special teams side, my question is, when Myers kicks the onside kick, and it was pretty obvious to me that the opposing team potentially shoves that ball out of bounds, isn't that a change of possession? I've not figured that out yet.
So, yeah, what happened there is I believe it was Stevie Johnson went up high and batted the ball out of bounds, which is a legal play as long as he bats it horizontally or backwards. He can do that, and it's actually a smart play by him. You just can't bat it forward. So what he did was completely legal and pretty smart.
No, you don't see it a lot, but it's you should do that.
Hello. Daryl.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
JP, you're fading away there.
Yeah, JP,
like
you're not on right now. I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm on now.
There you go.
Hey. Here we go, Producer Joe. What's up, Daryl?
We need better work.
Hey, how you
show.
Doing? I want to ask a question about a different team, the Cowboys, if I can, if you agree with me. I'll make
sure,
it short and sweet. Tony Romo, I don't think he'll be back. I think he'll end up probably talking him into retirement. And you think it would be smart to go after Johnny Manziel, RG3, or Kaepernick so they can get another pass rusher and they can sleep comfortable without worrying about Greg Harding? Because I don't trust him.
Cowboys call.
I'll answer those real quick. I don't think Tony Romo is going to retire. I don't think they should get RG3 Colin Kaepernick or Johnny Manziel. I think that would be a bad move. And Greg Hardy, I wouldn't have him on my team. So I would.
Neither would I.
I would not have him on my team. And if I was in charge of the Cowboys, I'd cut him tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. I want to thank Tony Vaselli for helping me sell a navigator when I was working at North Florida Lincoln Mercury.
No problem, buddy.
The guy wasn't budging, but when we told him that you drove that navigator, I got a nice little bonus out of that.
I must have missed my cut somewhere. The check must have got lost.
Oh, no, you was making a whole lot more than me. That's
no, you're right. You're right about that.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. There you have it. Interesting.
That was a great
Cowboys
call. Cowboys / Navigator call.
Johnny Football to Dallas, Petey. Huh? No?
Yeah, I mean, he wanted him. Remember, he wanted him.
Yeah, you'd take him, wouldn't you, Pete? He's your type of quarterback.
He's a knucklehead. You know me. I want my quarterback in the pocket.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Jerome is on the west side. Hang on just a moment. There's Jerome on the west side. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I just got a question for you. I know it's always put on the players, but is this one like more like on both of them? You know what I mean? Because at the same time, I don't see how they go into this game not knowing Antonio Gates. I mean, just stop Antonio Gates, because everybody else is wounded, young. I mean, the rookie running back. I mean, just stop Antonio Gates, really, besides Rivers. I mean, I don't see how they don't just like double cover that guy or something. I mean, just, I don't know. I just want to know y'all's opinion on more. Are these games over the last couple games more on the way the scheming teams before and after halftime, or the game planning? Is that more on the coaches and the out results? Are they more on the coaches or the players? Or
right.
I mean, how, which way?
Hey, when you listen, it's always on. It's always on both. It's always on the coaches and players when you win and when you lose. So there's always plenty of blame to go around if things don't work. As far as, listen, they trust me. Everyone in this league for the last 10 years has been trying to take Antonio Gates out of the game plan. And no one's been very successful, because I'm pretty sure he has as many touchdowns as anybody playing that position. And him and Rivers have been a combination that have been hard to stop. And when you have a quarterback like Phillip Rivers and a player like Antonio Gates, that they do things within the flow of the game that are unscripted at times. They know each other so well. They go to spot. He goes to spots extremely well. Phillip Rivers is very accurate. So, listen, it's easier said than done trying to stop Antonio Gates.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the same thing last night. You know, when Denver's playing New England, and New England comes in with nobody outside and all their receivers hurt, and the first play, their first touchdown goes to Gronkowski, and everybody goes, why aren't they tripling and doubling them to take them away? Well, there's only so many things you can do, you know, and great players make great plays sometimes.
By the way, who the hell is Dontrell Inman? We found out yesterday.
Yeah, he caught.
Isn't the Canadian Football League guy, wasn't he?
I don't know, but he caught a bunch of balls.
Yeah, he came out of the Canadian. Well, that just goes to show you, if Rivers could find guys, I mean, that's Rivers. That's who he is. That's what he does.
Let's go to final call tonight. Jimmy in Nocatee. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, fellas. How we doing? Dontrell Inman was Rivers' guy last year when Keenan Allen went down, Malcolm Floyd went down. He wound up having a pretty decent year. But anyway, I'm kind of concerned with our lack of use of Marquise Lee, and what a squandered second-round draft pick that was as far as his productivity and everything like that. But, I mean, did he even get looked at yesterday? He didn't even get the ball yesterday.
He had a reverse. He had one catch for 3 yards as well.
Yeah, why doesn't he play more in the passing game?
Because I think right now the other guys are better than he is.
Yeah, but
I think it's because they have to use Yeldon as an extra blocker, and that's the only way to get Julius on the field. That's my opinion on the matter, but
they have to use Yeldon as an extra blocker.
Well, yeah. Whenever our offense, I mean, our offensive line is average at best. But I mean, whenever you bring in, you know, Marquise Lee, you have to, one or the other. It's either Lee or Thomas. Because most of the time, Yeldon's going to be in the backfield. Somebody's going to have to sit back there for Bortles to pick up the protection, because our offensive line is not getting the job done. He's not getting the time. He's shifting around all the time. He's making bad throws. He's not keeping his eyes down the field as well as he should. He's getting a lot better. I know he's a young, you know, quarterback and all. And I'm not sitting here calling to criticize him. It threw for over 300 yards yesterday. But another thing I want to get to is how the hell Dwayne Groff still has a place on this football team is beyond me. He's by far our worst defensive back. I don't understand that. And with the exception of Luke, that whole draft class that he had his first year has been absolutely just horrible. I don't understand how Groff still has a place on this team. He, He gets turned around constantly. He doesn't keep his head up. He misplaces his terrible footing.
So
he never keeps up with anybody.
So Cyprian was in that. So Cyprian's horrible as well.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
You said so. You Cyprian's a terrible player too.
His first rip wasn't it great? It was Brock. He had
Cyprian was in that draft too.
Yes.
So all right, I
missed
that. That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Well, but when you really look at the class, though, I mean, Jokel it was a bad draft to start with. Jokel's a solid tackle. He's nobody in that class that plays tackle is going to be a great player at tackle. So, you know, look, he is what he is. He's not going anywhere, despite what people might think. Cyprian's been just okay for the guy who was taken 33rd overall. I mean, that's the reality of it. Gratz has been a disappointment. Ace Sanders, we know what happened to him. Denard Robinson. Josh Evans.
For a fifth rounder? I mean, fifth, sixth rounder, Evans and Denard Robinson.
And then they thought McCray was a steal at seven, and that hasn't played out. So, look, it's not an awful draft. It's just not you expect, but it was a bad draft all the way around. I'm talking about quality-wise. When you look at that draft, it was pathetic.
Yeah, how many great players are out of that draft in the league right now?
I mean, you know who I would have taken in that draft. I said it all along, and I'm 100% convinced that's who I would have taken.
Ziggy Ansah.
Yes,
so
no doubt.
I liked him too.
I mean, could you imagine if the Jacksonville had Ziggy Ansah? Would you rather have Ziggy Ansah or Luke Jokel?
Ooh.
Tony, I don't think there's a woo at all. That's easy.
Tony?
I'll take Luke. He's our guy.
There you go. There he goes again, Pete.
He's like a... I can't see him right now, but I would imagine that he's doing some kind of tap dancing over there.
Oh, you should see his face contorting in all kind of ways right now. Trying to
Ziggy Ansah's second in the league in sacks, Tony, with 11 and a half.
I know, Pete.
That's what's missing.
Pete, I know.
Ziggy Ansah and Dante Fowler together next year? That would be unbelievable if they could have that, right?
Who would be playing left tackle on this team then?
Sam Young or somebody, who knows?
We'll come back and look around the National Football League in Week 12, Thanksgiving games, and all the rest. Thank you for your calls tonight. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think the mindset coming into practice that, you know, they're professionals. And it's about getting better and improving and correcting the things that we need to correct. This team has great spirit, great will. You know, that's a part of it. And I appreciate that part because when we come back to work, I know what we're going to get. So I don't believe it'll be an issue.
Gus Bradley earlier today, when asked if the team's focus could change since there's not as big of a chance to play for the playoff spot anymore. There's still a chance. It was Gus's answer earlier today. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco. Let's go around the National Football League on Thanksgiving weekend. We start off with the Thanksgiving game. Stafford and Megatron rolled the Eagles. Is Chip done in Philly?
I don't know if he's done, but he, you know, that conversation is being had. I don't think there's any question about that. I thought for a second he might get the USC job, but USC named Helton the full-time coach today, so that's an interesting move by USC. But, I mean, look, Chip Kelly's not doing a very good job. There was some talk that his team quit the other day in Detroit. I don't know if that was the case, but, it's not easy to turn it around. You know what he has this week? New England.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever going to be the head coach at USC. I don't think they're going to go down that path. But, listen, better be careful when people start calling you a genius. Remember, he's going to change the entire – I never bought into it. And he would have been better off just being the coach and stop getting rid of good players. Because when a guy thinks that it's all about him and his system, that's when you get in trouble.
The job's too big for one man. I'm a big believer in that.
Tony Romo is not retiring. He is done for the year, though. The Panthers are 11-0. Will the Panthers run the table?
Well, I don't think so. I said last week I didn't think the Patriots would run the table. And I don't think the Panthers will either.
I don't think they will. I think the Giants will get them in a couple weeks in New York. That's just, I don't know. I just got a strange feeling about that one.
Yeah.
Giants like spoiling perfection.
Well, the Giants better start worrying about their own division at 5-6. An awful loss against the Redskins. If they win that game, they have a two-game lead. It's pretty much their division at that point. Now, they're tied at the top of the division with the Washington Redskins. And, it, you know, everyone says the South is a bad division. The East is a much worse division than the AFC South.
East is bad. I mean, you see who's winning that division right now? The Washington
Redskins.
That's
what I just said, Pete. Yeah. Were you not listening to what I said?
But you said they were tied. They're not tied. They're ahead of them because they beat them.
Well, I understand that. But right now they have the same record. How about that?
Okay. There, that's better. See, I'm correcting you. You didn't tell me to listen.
Listen, that's number five. There's no way I'm getting to, what, 30?
We got 2 seconds.
Yeah, there's no chance.
We earlier started to discuss the Green Bay Packers' offensive issues. The Bears spoiled Brett Favre night at Lambeau.
I was there.
Packers, man.
Before we get to that, what a cool scene that was. Brett Favre, Bart Starr. It was a really cool halftime ceremony, and it was fun to be at. A lot of history. And
how cold were you?
I was in the booth, so I wasn't that cold.
Oh, you were. You did the color on the game?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Ah, who'd you do it with?
Kevin Harlan.
Oh, I love Kevin Harlan.
The Dagger.
He is very
one of my favorite guys of all time.
He is very, very good at what he does.
He is very good. Yeah, that was a good scene. That's not a good scene for that football team right now, though.
They're not very good.
We talked about it earlier. They don't have anything that scares outside, and that's a problem. You don't scare outside. You have that offense. You use all those ISO routes. You're not going to move the football.
And even when – I mean, Devontae Adams dropped a slant that would have been six. I mean, right in his hands. I mean, they're not talented at receiver. Cobb – you know what Cobb is? He's a good number two when you have a great number one.
Right. And
right now they don't have anything on that team when it comes to wide receiver. Eddie Lacy ran the ball well, had a big fumble, though, that cost them. It really gave the Bears the first chance of scoring. So, you know, they got all kinds of issues. Interesting stat. Aaron Rodgers, Pete, this was before, and I don't know what his exact stats were against the Bears. He only threw for 202. I don't know what his completion percentage was. But in the four games leading up to that Bears game where they were 1-3, he was completing only 54.5% of his passes. He is career a 65.5% completion passer. He is struggling.
He doesn't look like the same guy. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. He just doesn't look like the same guy. He's getting a little jumpy in the pocket. I mean, there's a bunch of different things and that are holding him back, but he just doesn't look like the same guy to me.
And it goes, yeah. I don't like what they're doing offensively. They're not helping.
I hate
it. They're not helping them at all.
McCarthy needs to get back in there and take over that thing. I'm a big believer in that.
Why did he give it up to begin with?
He wanted to focus. Remember, he had the special teams debacle that cost him the game. He wanted to focus more on the other stuff. And I think that was a mistake because I think McCarthy's a great play caller. But it's more so than forget the play calling. It's the concepts. I mean, ISO routes, if you got Randy Moss are one thing. ISO routes when you got nobody who can win down the fielders, that's a problem.
Yeah, you know what it shows you? How good Jordy Nelson is.
True.
The Titans would have the number one pick if it ended today. The Raiders are hanging around, right?
Yeah, no? Big win for the Raiders at 5-6. They're in the wild card hunt. You know, David Carr is a good quarterback.
Derek Carr.
Or same thing, whatever.
No, not the same thing. You play with the other one. He wasn't any good.
Derek Carr is a good quarterback. You know, nice young weapons. Crabtree's playing well this season. Give them credit. Give them credit. They're playing good football right now, and Tennessee's just not a very good football team.
Not at all. They're just and that's why I think Jacksonville will go in there and win this week, but Tennessee's not very good. And Mariota threw a bad interception. You know what I noticed, too, after the games you noticed this? That Mularkey said the receivers, both times the receivers ran the wrong routes. He kind of called out the receivers coach. I mean, when you say that publicly, isn't that kind of calling out the receivers coach a little bit?
Or calling out the receivers, not knowing what to do, which is, I guess, both.
Not good. Jags get them in Nashville next week. The Chiefs are red hot right now. They've won 5 in a row.
Yeah, with no Jamal Charles. Remember when Jamal Charles got hurt, everyone thought that was the death nail. I think Pete, you probably know this. I think they're averaging like 33 points a game since he got hurt in this winning streak.
Yeah, and look at the running backs. Charcandrick West goes in and does all kinds of things. He gets hurt, and then Spencer Ware goes in and rushes for 111 yards, and if that's not proof positive of that of the value of a running back in the National Football League, I don't know what is.
That defense is really good. Gosh,
they're playing better.
Now, Houston, did it come out what Houston's injury was?
Got his MCL sprain, so we'll see.
It was ugly, though. He got leg whipped.
Matt Hasselbeck, 315, 2 touchdowns for the Colts in a win. Here come the Colts with Hasselbeck, huh?
Well, listen, they're playing against the Saints, which is the worst defense known to mankind.
Those are the Texans.
No, they're playing
about the Colts.
The Colts are playing. Tampa.
They already played the Saints.
Yeah, they played the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks. Okay, take what I just said off the board. But yeah, listen, Hasselbeck's been playing good.
There's number six.
Hasselbeck's been playing good all year. They're playing good football. You know, give everyone to fire Chuck Pagano and that in the organization. That's a mistake. He's done a good job with all the injuries and all the turmoil. He has those guys playing hard, and they control the division right now.
And you know what? They play the Texans again, and they've owned the Texans.
Is that who they play this week?
No, coming up at the end of the year. No, right. They play the Steelers this week in Pittsburgh, but Roethlisberger's in the concussion protocol. So
when did he get a concussion, Pete? I watched that game.
Late in the game, he took the shot right before the 2-minute warning.
Now, how'd they know? I mean, would they come check on him? Or
he had a headache, and once he had the headaches, he went into the protocol.
Why do you tell anyone you have a headache?
That's a good question. Well, because maybe he was scared.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the situation, how bad a headache it was. Maybe it was one of those you just can't even play with. Who knows? He got walloped, I know that.
Can the Texans' defense carry them the rest of the way?
I don't know who they play. I know they play us and the Colts.
Well, they got Buffalo this week at Buffalo. Yes. That's not going to be an easy game.
No, but it can carry. I mean, the defense can carry them through that game.
And they
game.
Play New England at home in 2 weeks from Sunday.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well.
Well, it's at Houston. Maybe they could pull out those
Well,
old
you know Letterman, what? You think
they
about,
get those old Letterman jackets out again.
Well, and right now, I mean, New England's offense is not very good.
It isn't.
They have no weapons. Their offensive line is beat up. We're asking a lot of Tom Brady, and he's always come through, and I think everyone just makes it a given that he's going to figure it out. Maybe he will, but that's a team. I don't think – listen, they're not going to get healthy.
It's number seven, by the way.
I don't know when Edelman comes back or if he's coming back at all, Pete, this year. But I don't think they're a team that's going to make a run in the playoffs under their current condition of where they stack up right now.
Yeah, but they'll get guys back, though. I mean, they played last night. By the time they played the game, Collins was out, Hightower was out, Edelman was out, Gronk was out.
Maybe it's one of those years.
Amendola was out. I mean, we've already seen two teams that have just been completely decimated by the injury bug, and that's Baltimore and Dallas. They were supposed to be good teams this year, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong for those two teams right from the word get-go.
We'll come back with more NFL headlines, including a statement from the Denver Broncos. Was it a statement last night? This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
And we continue our look around the National Football League on Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. You mentioned the Redskins, first in the NFC East. It's a strange division, guys. I mean, turn Tony's mic on. What do we got here?
Oh, great, Joe.
Gosh,
I just had a great. I just had one
tonight.
Of the best takes ever. My mic was off. What did I say again, JP?
You said listen, probably.
Oh, okay. Redskins, yeah. Listen, I'm.
There's eight. That's number eight.
The Redskins, it's a bad division. It's an awful division. The AFC South is better than the NFC East. And no, I mean, the NFC East gets so much, you know, love because it's the Cowboys, the Giants, you know, historical teams, the Eagles, Redskins, all historical teams. The South gets just dumped on because it's, you know, smaller markets and, you know, two expansion teams with the Texans and the Jags. And so it's not a good division, you know, but the Redskins are giving credit. Kirk Cousins, who Pete said is awful, and I'm not disagreeing with him, but playing good football right now, Pete. He hasn't thrown a pick in I don't know how long at home. I think it's week three since the last time he threw a pick. So he's playing good football.
Well, he's every other game he plays good football. I mean, there's no consistency there, but look, he's playing better than I thought he would play. They're in first place. You got to give him credit for it. I didn't think they'd win more than three or four games all year. And so, yeah, but it's a horrible division. And do you realize they have two games left with the Cowboys and one with the Eagles? I mean, they have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs.
Well, they control it.
Would they be one of the worst playoff teams you've ever seen?
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. You know the danger for them, though, Pete, is that they go on this little run. They sneak in the playoffs at 8-8, and they pay Kirk Cousins.
Well, they're going to pay him a little bit. I mean, I would give him a small deal to keep him around. You know what I mean?
Like, but you'd still draft a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But they won't.
The college quarterback class has kind of gotten kind of muddied.
Yeah, I don't even know who's good out there in college right now.
Well, a lot of people like the 6'7" kid at Memphis, Lynch.
What about the – I know coming into the year, the kid in Michigan State?
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing about him, Tony, and I've asked a bunch of guys this. Does it bother you that his teammates didn't vote him a captain? Does that matter if you're the quarterback?
That'll be a question in the pre-draft process.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I'd ask it. Why?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Usually the quarterback –
Yeah, I remember the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner. The quarterback wasn't very popular on his team, and that's why Costner didn't draft him.
Yeah, I think that will matter.
Kevin Costner's a smart GM now.
Good GM. But if Connor Cook plays good this week against Iowa and then plays really good, wins a playoff game and then plays good in the next playoff game, then everybody's going to go, oh, boy, look at this kid. He's the guy. You know what I mean? So
I don't think there's a guy in this draft.
No. And last year there were two, supposedly, although the one is Winston's better. I don't care what anybody says. But, the golf kid at Cal, if he comes out.
Yeah.
Cardale Jones has played himself right out of not being a high pick. People thought
he should have come out last year. His draft stock was never higher than it was after winning the national championship.
Your USC quarterback is a fourth or fifth round pick. He doesn't have the arm to drive.
He's a backup. Good backup in this league.
Yeah, so the quarterback situation is not very good.
Let's get to some other good games from yesterday. Carson Palmer's scramble touchdown, of all things, pushed the Cardinals past.
Yeah, he runs a little bit better than Phillip Rivers, but not much. But Phillip got a first down against us, and Carson Palmer scores. What's wrong with what's going on in this world?
Yeah, what is wrong with this league, huh?
If Phillip Rivers are picking up big first downs on 4th and 7, and Carson Palmer's running it in to win a game, something is not right. But, you know, talking about that game, Blaine Gabbert played well, Pete.
He did play well. He looks much more comfortable now. And, you know, maybe sitting for a while helped him. And, you know, new start, the whole deal.
No pressure at all. You know, you're not the first, you know, top 10 pick. You're not the guy. You're not supposed to be the face of the franchise. You're just coming in as the backup. And you know, maybe that confidence. I mean, we've all known he's talented.
He is talented.
And you know, so maybe that's what he needed. Now, there's another situation. They're probably going to make him the guy going into the next year, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles that type of pressure.
Yeah, it will be. He's done some good things. Here's how wacky the NFL is. Phillip Rivers runs for first downs. Carson Palmer runs for a touchdown. And Russell Wilson throws 5 touchdown passes.
He looked good yesterday,
yeah,
Pete.
He did look good. I even said that. I wrote that. I said it. I wrote it. He looked really good.
Did Mike Freeman call you?
He on Twitter. I said, look, go look at your Russell Wilson fat head. I know what you're doing. Yeah, okay, now go do it again. You got to go to Minnesota this week in a playoff preview. Because right now, if the playoffs started, it would be Seattle at Minnesota. Well, they play this week, so go to Minnesota against a pretty good defense and show me what you can do on the.
That'll be a fun game to watch because Minnesota is a physical offense, and historically, what has given that Seattle defense some trouble is if you run right at them in a physical style, and it'll be.
Bridgewater hasn't played very well. He's only got 8
average.
Touchdowns. He's only got 8 touchdown passes. Bortles is better than Bridgewater.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
without a doubt.
You wouldn't have won that argument if you said it before the season, though. I can tell you that.
No, I didn't. Wasn't arguing it before the season.
Who's better, Carr or Bridgewater?
Carr.
Carr or Bortles?
That's a great question, Pete.
That's a tough one.
That's a good question. I would not have taken Derek Carr, but he's a good quarterback. I mean, right now the two best quarterbacks in that draft are Bortles and Carr.
The Texans, by the way, should have taken Carr, then the division would have been stacked with young quarterbacks. They're the team that's going to end up being on the outs.
Yeah, somehow Bill O'Brien and Smith, what's his name, first name, the GM?
Rick
Smith, not only passed on Bortles to take Clowney when they didn't need another pass rusher, and then at the top of the second round, I don't know who they picked, but they passed on Carr. Who'd they pick at the top of the second, Pete? Do you remember?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Whoever it was the wrong guy.
Was the year before. Swearinger was the year before.
It was no longer on the roster.
Right.
We'll think of it.
Everybody, by the way, everybody blows picks.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
I mean, it's easy to go back and, I mean, we all do it, but it's easy to go back.
No, but Pete, that's one that, I mean, come on. Think about it. You're the Texans. You have this very good defense, and you have a good running game, and you have no quarterback.
They took the guard from UCLA.
Okay, exactly.
And Suafilo.
Thank you.
And then they took Fedorowicz. Yeah, they could have drafted a quarterback. Remember, don't forget they had Tom Savage. He was the rage that year, remember?
That's right. It's Monday night football in the AFC North.
A bad game.
Battle of bottom feeders. The 3-7 Baltimore Ravens without the franchise quarterback and a starting running back. They're in Cleveland against the Browns with too many quarterback headlines. Boring weather, bad football game. Who you got?
Buck Allen will run for 135. He's the rookie back at a USC for the Baltimore Ravens against the worst rush defense in the NFL of the Cleveland Browns, and I really don't care who wins.
I don't care who wins, but I agree with you, and if Buck Allen has a big day, and I might win some money in FanDuel, so that would be nice.
It's all about you, Pete.
Gambling is illegal in Bushwood.
That's FanDuel. It's not illegal yet, but it will be soon.
Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
I hope not. I love it.
Pete Prisco.
Yeah, yes. Pete.
See ya.
Hang up. We're done with you.
See ya. Pete Prisco, Tony Vasile, JP Shadrick.
Oh,
we'll see you next week.
You gotta love it.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.